The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap for this week's WGC Workday. And joining me to break it all down, it's Greg Ducharme. What up, Greg?
This is going to be quite a weekend, Rick. I mean, what a first 2 days we've had. This is fascinating. Can't wait to chop it up with you.
Yeah, we've got big names at the top. We got big names at the bottom. We got big names making a charge. It's everything. And it's big, beefy Bryson who goes out and shoots the course record. And it should be no surprise, Greg, because he has summited Mount Paramount. That's exactly right. You've probably seen the journey to Mount Paramount spots featuring Beefy Bryson himself, and that is because Paramount Plus is live sports. It's breaking news and a mountain of entertainment. You can go straight from game day to movie night with Paramount Plus. Stream iconic movies like The Godfather, Indiana Jones, and Mission Impossible, and new episodes of critically acclaimed original series like Star Trek Picard, The Good Fight, and The Stand. And get this, it's where you can dive into live sports from us. There's big beefy Bryson summiting that Paramount Plus, Mount Paramount, and including NFL, March Madness, The Masters, Champions League Soccer, and hit shows from CBS, MTV, Nickelodeon, BET, Smithsonian, and Comedy Central. It's live sports, it's breaking news, and a mountain of entertainment. It's Paramount Plus, streaming March 4th. The guy on top of the summit through two rounds, Greg, is Brooks Koepka. It's a 6-under-66 on Friday, and he looks good, man. He's got that swag about him. He's got that look about him. I'm getting a little bit nervous.
Yeah, definitely Brooks makes you nervous. There's a couple of things I find interesting about this board in general, aside from just Brooks. Koepka, leader of the pack here, but you look at this board, and all I see is guys that know how to win. They're just sprinkled throughout this board. These are what I call the anti-stats guys, right? You got Patrick Reed in the mix. You got Webb Simpson in the mix. You got Colin Morikawa in the mix, and Brooks Koepka. I guess Patrick Reed kind of stumbled a little bit, but these are guys that are anti-stat guys. Patrick Reed's tied eighth. He's only three shots back. These are the guys where the stats don't matter. And this is why this is going to be such an interesting weekend, because I still don't know what is the key. What's the key here? And Brooks just knows how to get it done. The ultimate big game hunter. Here's another WGC, and he's right in the mix.
He certainly is. And, you know, we talk a lot about WGCs. We talk a lot about major championships. If this is the Brooks we're going to get leading into major season, I mean, we're just a handful of weeks away from the Masters. Should we be taking a good hard look at maybe his Masters odds, which our friends over at William Hill currently have him at 12-1, Greg?
Yeah, you should be. Because, look, the performance he had at Waste Management, I know it's only one, but he's now backing it up with this performance here so far. This has proven to me that last year was the injury was it really was a factor. And look, this was hard to kind of talk about last year because of the way Brooks talked about it. He was very inconsistent with it. It's a big deal. It's not a big deal. I'm just playing bad. It's a bigger deal than we thought it was. The pain's excruciating. It's one of the worst pains I've ever had. Like he was kind of all over the board with it. So we didn't know what to believe. But what's happened now is you're starting to see the results talk, and the results now are starting to say that Brooks was struggling with an injury. And that's really what I believe. So I think a healthy Brooks Koepka is showing his true colors again, and he's showing that this was not a three-year Padraig Harrington-type hot streak in major championships where you're going to win three majors in 2 years. It wasn't that. This is a real thing. This guy's a real competitor out here.
He's third in the field in strokes gained tee to green through two rounds. He's gaining in every single category. He's rolling a hot putter right now. Things are very good if you are Brooks Koepka. And things are very good if you are either Bryson DeChambeau or Colin Morikawa, Gray, because not one course record on Friday, two of them, both of them shot a 64. Let's start with Bryson, who makes the big move up the leaderboard because he opened with a 77. So he moves up 44 spots as we record this. There's like one guy, two guys still playing. He's T20. So that is basically where Bryson is going to enter the weekend, trying to put it all together, trying to figure it all out, and trying to get moving on moving day.
For the week, Bryson DeChambeau is losing strokes off the tee.
That's
for the week.
Insane.
It's insane. It's really hard for that to happen. That's how you shoot 77 if you're Bryson, right? So what I find really interesting about this tournament, and this relates to Bryson, but I was looking earlier at the stat center, I call it, right? And I'm looking at the guys off the tee. Who are the guys that are leading the way off the tee this week? And it was like, Billy Horschel's now fourth. Sergio Garcia's third. Jason. But basically, you had a bunch of shorter hitters. Webb Simpson was right up there earlier in the day today. And it was not the Brooks Koepkas and the Bryson DeChambeaus. It was some shorter hitters. So it just tells you that there's some penalty areas out there, probably in play more so than I thought heading into the week, which is really interesting. But if Bryson can keep himself out of penalty shots, if he can keep himself out of the big number, then all of a sudden you're going to see him do this. This is the kind of round you're going to see out of him. So unfortunately, he got himself way back with the 77 yesterday, which is quite obvious. But I don't know. I mean, is he right back in this tournament? He's eight back, two rounds to go. It's a little ways to go, but he's clearly got some firepower.
Yeah, he's going to have to shoot something real low, but I mean, he could certainly backdoor top 10 this and do better. I mean, yeah. Right? I mean, the firepower is there. He made nine birdies on Friday. He had one bogey on the card. It's Colin Morikawa who not only tied that course record or broke the new course record, I guess, with Bryson DeChambeau, 64 on Friday, but now he's just one off the pace. And this is the Morikawa we want. You know, he leads the field in strokes gained approach. He leads the field in strokes gained tee to green, and he is the smallest of positive putters coming off of a week where he lost like 7.5 strokes putting last week, six of which came on Sunday. We say this all the time, Greg, and here we are again on a Friday night. If Colin Morikawa is a zero putter, he wins a lot of golf tournaments.
He's one of the guys on this board that I mentioned earlier who's a winner, right? He knows how to, when he gets in contention, he knows how to seal the deal. And in large part, he gives himself a ton of opportunities. Now, the putting grip change, we talked about this on Monday, I think, Rick. We talked about the concerns of the putting grip change. Now, it is less of a concern after a day where he gains, right? He gained 1.2 strokes today. So it's less of a concern now. Maybe that's recency bias. I don't know. But I'll say this. Guys who struggle with putting, who go to the claw, as Colin Morikawa has done, it seems to be a great move. I mean, it turned Justin Rose from a bad putter to a great putter. It changed Phil Mickelson from an extremely streaky putter, especially from short range, to a much more consistent putter from short range. It won Sergio Garcia a Masters. So the claw can be a great workaround for somebody who struggles with the putter. So that's what I'm watching this week. How does Colin Morikawa putt? Because this is just what, this is now who he is. He is both days, he's second in the field, strokes gained approach the green. Totals for the week. Now he's first. He leads the way. So and tee to green, he leads the way. The short game is behaving for him. So I think Colin Morikawa is a real threat, especially if he putts the way that he did today.
Yeah, he's basically going to be the best player in the field on approach or ball striking, however you want to split it up. And it's really just going to come down to what the short game does to see where he's going to finish. Cameron Smith refuses to go away. This guy really has shown me something over the course of the last, I mean, you could probably go back to the President's Cup, right? I mean, the kind of the coming out party for a lot of these international players, whether it was Abraham Ancer, Cam Smith, Sungjae played great over there. Now with three top five finishes already this season in, listen to these fields. So he finishes fourth at the Zozo, fourth at Riviera, and then, oh, by the way, just a little runner-up finish at Augusta National. I mean, he doesn't back down, doesn't matter what course, doesn't matter the field, he's finding a way to put himself in contention.
Yeah, and again, where Colin Morikawa, we know where he makes his hay, right? You know, okay, he Colin Morikawa approach game, Bryson DeChambeau driving. There are guys where you, Jordan Spieth putting, right? There are guys where you know exactly where, or maybe there's two areas where their strength really lies. But with Cameron Smith, it seems to be whatever the flavor of the day is. Right? Today, he was great with his irons, and his short game was pretty good as well. And the putting was just so-so. Whereas yesterday, the putting was great. Around the green was just so-so. Irons just so-so. He was just kind of so-so everywhere, but had a great putting round. Today, hits it a little bit better. So he can, it's kind of whatever the flavor of the day is. And it's just a sign that the guy just knows how to score, knows how to get the ball in the hole, which is kind of a, from a handicapping perspective, it's a, can be a scary thing. You don't know exactly what you're hanging your hat on yet. He's another guy that I don't know where he is yet with winning. I know he won the Sony Open. I know he's contended in major fields, but we just don't have that information yet. You know where Tony Finau is with winning. You know how hard it is for him. You know how hard it's been lately for Xander. You know how easy it comes to Brooks Koepka and Colin Morikawa and some of these other Justin Thomas, great closers. With Cam, we don't know. It doesn't feel like he's been there and should have won a tournament yet. You don't get, you know what I mean, Rick? It's like, he doesn't
yeah,
have
I mean,
should have
the Sony win, if I remember, was pretty sloppy. I mean, it's from everybody. Like, his conditions were weird. Yeah. You know, Brendan Steele kind of punted it away a little bit. Ryan Palmer was there until he like, so I don't remember thinking at Sony, like, he should win, if that makes sense. It's just
right.
like,
he's in the
when
mix.
When the dust settled, he was the one on top.
Right. So I don't know. And that's not a knock against him. We just
of course
haven't
not.
Really seen that yet. So right. I'm very interested to see how he performs this weekend, because now he's kind of in a position where maybe by tomorrow night you might be saying Cam Smith should win this tournament, and we'll get a better idea. We're not there yet, but he's really impressive, Rick. He really is.
And to say you are the guy who is just at the top when the dust settles, let me be clear, that is not a... I mean, Brooks Koepka did that a couple of weeks ago, right? Like, everyone just kind of
fell
Nicklaus down
around...
Jack
made a career out of it.
Yeah, like, that's how you win golf tournaments sometimes. This one hurts a little bit. Victor Hovland, so those course records that I mentioned, those were 64s, 8 under par. Victor Hovland gets to his final hole, which was 9, on Friday at 7 under. I'm holding an outright ticket. I'm loving my situation. He proceeds to make a quadruple bogey 8 that I believe was... So he hits his second shot out of the bunker over the green into the trees, takes an unplayable, hits it back over the green, gets a terrible lie up against the lip of the bunker, hits it out of that bunker back into the trees. I think he took another unplayable, left one at his feet because he couldn't get it up on the green. Finally gets one on the green, and just your routine one putt quadruple bogey, Greg.
It's funny how that works. And, you know, I think so highly of this guy. First of all, a bogey free 69 with, what was it, 7 birdies?
Seven birdies and a quad. First player in WGC history, according to Justin Ray, to have 7 birdies, 0 bogeys, and a quad.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's hard to right. It's hard to do. But it does. So one, the interview afterwards that he gave was great. He's just such a class act. I mean, it makes me a bigger fan. And I knew he would behave this way. But it just makes me even a bigger fan of Victor Hovland, because these things can happen, and it doesn't speak to his ability. This just, it's just not fun, and I'm sorry for him, but I love the way he handled it. But it does present a very interesting situation going into the weekend. You think of a guy like a Tony Finau, who's sitting right now in tied 5th. Where is he going to be coming down the stretch? What's going to happen when somebody has the lead on Sunday afternoon, and you know this kind of number is out there? I mean, yesterday there were 34 double bogeys, and I think there were 9 others yesterday. Today the number went way down. It went significantly down with less wind, but a big number golf course, opposite of what we had last week at Riviera. This is the kind of thing that can happen. Makes for a dramatic finish.
Certainly lots of big numbers lurking out there. Let's look towards the weekend. We've got 36 holes to go. Brooks Koepka, of course, your betting favorite over at William Hill. He's 2.5 to 1 plus 250 with a 1-shot lead with 3 guys, 1 back, three more guys, two back, and plenty of movement on the board. Colin Morikawa is 6.5 to 1. Tony Finau is 7.5. Webb Simpson is 8, and Cam Smith is 9. Those are the single-digit guys, Greg. Let's start there.
This is really hard, just because of who these guys are. Like, I talked about it already. These guys are, they're killers. They're big game hunters, all mm-hmm. of them, every single one of them. Like, Brooks Koepka, I trust on it. You put him within 3 shots of the lead going into the weekend, and if it's like, if Brooks is playing well, he just knows how to win, and I trust him. But I feel the same way about Colin Morikawa. I feel the same way about Webb Simpson. Not quite sure yet with Cameron Smith, but I don't feel like he's a no. I feel like he could do it. And then when we get into the double digits, I think it gets even more interesting. So I guess my lean would have to be Brooks. I think it's going to be hard to take this thing away from him. I have a feeling this is Brooks. It's slight odds. It's not great. It's not a sexy number, but I mean, he's probably going to win.
My heart says Brooks, because when you put Brooks near the lead, he's going to find a way. But right. but my head says, what does find a way mean, right? Like, there's not data that says find a way. So I mean, you look at Morikawa at 7. So Morikawa agreed, a closer, what, 3 victories already on the PGA Tour, including a major championship, leads the field in strokes gained tee to green, leads in approach, leads in ball striking, which is approach plus off the tee. I mean, those are the metrics that you want. He's a 0 putter. If he gains a half a stroke putting over the next 2 rounds, he might win this golf tournament. Like that's all it's going to take for him to figure out a way to win this golf tournament.
As you would say, Rick, there's a clear pathway.
There is.
There's a very clear pathway for Colin Morikawa to win. The only thing that's in the way is Brooks Koepka, and that's a big obstacle in the way. So you can't talk me off of Colin Morikawa and win. Like, you say Morikawa is going to win. The data says Morikawa is going to win. I'm all about, I love the guy. He's playing great. He's swinging great. And I like the claw element. I wasn't so, now that I've seen it work for him, that can be a big spark of confidence. And he could have a great putting weekend. He really could. I like Brooke, it. I don't know what Brooks is going to do.
Okay. So that's where Brooks is at 11. So Brooks is at 11 under. There are only 7 guys within 2. There are 9 guys within 3. I mean, how far back? We have 2 rounds to go. Of course, that's given up a couple of 64s on Friday. How far back is too far back, Greg?
This is more bunched, right? If it were just Brooks and he was, and the lead was not bunched. I mean, he's, if you're a 7-under guy, if you take Brooks out, I like to do this, take the leader out. Let's say leaderboard gravity gets the guy in first. You still have 3 guys at 10-under, and you got 3 more at 9-under. So like the 7-unders are 4 back. It's pretty close to a real 4 back. And it's Brooks Koepka. So the guys that are at 5-under, they're really like Rory, who's at 5-under. He's 6 shots back of Brooks Koepka. And then there's still a host of players in front of him. So I think this probably, I would say no, like Bryson, I don't think has a chance, Matt, even with 2 great rounds, which would mean 3 great rounds in a row. I think Rory has a slim chance. I wouldn't really go outside of the top 10 at this point. It's just, you have Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy at 5-under. So are you going to say no to those guys?
The sevens are, that would be your top 10. I agree that it's more about how many guys you have to pass instead of how many shots you have to come back from. Cause it's not like 10 guys ahead of you are all going to be worse than field average on Saturday and Sunday. While you're talking, dude, Justin Thomas, the fact that Justin Thomas is T13 right now, he played his first 6 holes on Thursday at 1, 2, 3, 4 over par. For him to now be 5-under a round and a half later, like tip my cap, golf clap, Justin Thomas.
Especially with all he's got going on emotionally. I mean, with his grandfather passing and Tiger and that entire situation, how much that means to him, and the situation in Hawaii, which is still, you know, I'm sure it's still on the forefront of his mind. There's a lot going on in his life off the golf course right now. So for me, with Justin Thomas, I was kind of giving him this week, fading him this week, just because there's so much going on. And it was hard for me to, but I'm impressed. I'm really impressed, and I'd love to see him go shoot 8 under tomorrow and have a Morikawa Justin Thomas battle for the best iron player on tour. I'd love to see that battle. I think it's, like you said, Rick, it's how many guys, and then the next layer to that is who those guys are. And there's so many closers in that top 10. I think it's hard to go down to a Rory and a JT.
I agree with you. Also, really quick, because I'm over time here. Friend of the pod, Brandon Wu, has the 36-hole lead in Puerto Rico. I tweeted this out a little bit ago. He gave us an interview in May and was awesome. And you should go back and listen to it. And he's trying to win in Puerto Rico, which, Greg, that'd be awesome. Have a friend of the pod.
Absolutely. It's likely, I would say, at this point.
Oh boy. All right. There's the douche arm jinx on a Friday night.
I don't think it's a jinx.
Listen, he's playing great. We'll see. Maybe we don't want him to win in Puerto Rico, right? We still don't know what the powers of this thing are. Maybe we just want him to finish second.
I think the curse is lifted.
Okay. Victor Hovland.
There may be a separate curse, the Finau curse, but I don't blame it to Puerto Rico anymore.
All right, then Brandon Wu can go out and win that golf tournament. I'd absolutely love to see it. That'll do it. Round two recap. Obviously, be back after round three and round four. That's Greg Ducharme, who you can follow on Twitter at TheRealGFD. You can follow me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.